Well, that was wonderful. Thank you, worship team and men, for joining our worship team and that choir. Want to talk with you this... Yeah, good. Want to talk with you this morning about peace. Christmas peace. It's foretold, it's spoken about in the scripture, this one who would bring peace. I made a note, taped it in my Bible, of what Webster, his dictionary, says, how he defines peace. The absence of war or other hostilities. Freedom from quarrels, disagreements, and difficulty. And inner contentment and serenity. You'll see in your program, you'll see in your Bible, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, you'll see on the wall here, we're told 700 years before Jesus' birth, and it was very important in the Hebrew language, names characterize a person. What did the parents of Esau and Jacob say when their sons were born? They saw Esau, and right away they said, Esau, which means red-haired, hairy, to characterize their son. Jacob, heel-grabber, it's what it literally means. God gave him a different name later on when he surrendered Israel, the Prince of God. But here the scripture tells us, you can see there, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And yet, here we are in a society, maybe here in this room, and you're saying, where is it? The Prince of Peace. Some might say, when there's disturbance around them, there's loud noise, they say, can I get some peace here? If you lived in my neighborhood at 1045, you might have said that because there were fireworks going off. And I'm talking about 4th of July fireworks, 10, 15, 20 minutes. I was just mystified. I actually, after about 10 minutes, got up and looked outside and said, is this really going on? There's nobody outside, is there, watching these fireworks? My guess was there was a wedding, and they were watching from a large glass window pane venue. But somebody, if they were living real close, or if they had young children who woke up, they might have opened up the window and said, can I get some peace here? Some, in a few weeks, might receive some invoices because of your generosity in buying gifts for others, saying, oh, no, I'm anxious. I've got too much debt. I need peace. I'm feeling worried, when maybe what they really want is a balanced budget. Or maybe there is an illness, a sickness. Maybe there is news, grave news. And you're saying, I have no peace. I can't sleep. But maybe what you want is a good bill of health or assurance if the news you've received is terminal. What is this peace that is promised, that is foretold in the scripture? The very night, and we see in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus was born. We just sang about it. Angels appeared and they spoke to some shepherds, and here is what they said in Luke chapter 2. You'll find these texts also in the back of your program if you want to follow along and make a note or two. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So this Prince of Peace that Isaiah had foretold would come and have that title has now arrived in the most humblest ways. God, the Son of God, incarnate as a child. So here on earth, peace has arrived. And yet, you open up any newspaper, there are some here at a certain age and go, a what? You look at the news headline, the news bulletin, and there is anything but peace in our society, in communities, villages, in the world. So what does it mean? Webster's dictionary, the absence of war and of strife and of quarreling and inner serenity. Is that right? Or does God have another fuller definition of what peace is? And this person, this Prince of Peace, this babe who would be born, who is God in the flesh, he himself would say towards the end of his ministry, the very night he would be betrayed, as he shared in a meal with his closest disciples, he said to them in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He understood their hearts. He was telling them, he had told them for three and a half years, it's not what you expect, my reign. The kingdom that I keep telling you is here. I am not going to be your political conqueror and give you what you want, what you think is needed here, and that is peace here politically to overthrow the Romans and allow Israel to rise up again and have dominion and conquer others. That is not what I've come to be or to provide. I myself have come to give you peace. And he would say later in that meal, in chapter 16, verse 33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. What does that mean? Lord, I want peace. So it's something about a relationship that brings me peace in you, Jesus. But I believe you. I believe in you. But I'm not peaceful. There's strife. There's agita, there's anxiety, there's whatever you want to call it. What is it, God? What am I missing here when it comes to peace? Foretold, celebrated, peace. Romans chapter 5 unpacks and solves the mystery for us. This peace that no matter what trouble, no matter what strife, no matter what war, conflict, disagreement that is had here on this earth in any community, the Lord is saying, there is a peace, a peaceful relationship that you can have, that you need, that no matter what's happening around you, internally, you will be okay. You can exhale. Because Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. You will have trial. But take heart. I have overcome. And the significance of my overcoming is what's key. So let's take a look at Romans 5 and spend a few minutes here. The peace that was foretold, the peace that arrived in Jesus' birth, the peace that's offered by Jesus must be received by faith alone in him. And when it is, something happens powerfully forever. Justification. Notice, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That word justified is speaking of a declaration of being cleared legally. It's a fully completed past action with present day results. It cannot be reneged on because of the legal standing. There is no double jeopardy. You cannot be found accused and punished and disciplined again for that crime. What does that mean? The scripture is saying that we can have peace with God, justified. Many years ago, prior to being a Christian, in my early 20s, I found myself standing before a judge. And it was my second time in 3 years standing before a judge for the same offense. It was my second DUI. An irresponsible party guy who would then get in a vehicle. So irresponsible, so comprehensible when I think of who I am today. I was guilty. Guilty as sin, as they would say. But before I stood before that judge with my second offense, I hired a lawyer, paid out good money. I went through whatever needed to be done to try and get off, to try and pay my way to lessen what could come down. In that day and in that state, for my offense, the highest of what the judicial system said would need to be paid is 2 days in jail, $2,000 fine, 50 hours of community service. And I thought, oh, and a loss of a license for 2 years. And I thought, for sure, walking in there, looking prim and proper, not relying on a public defender, but paying good money for an attorney, this is going to be lessened. It wasn't lessened. The full penalty laid out, and there I was, needing to receive it. As much as I wanted to get out of it, as much as I tried everything in my power and by my means to get out of it, I paid it. Here the scripture says, John, there's graver sins you've committed than your irresponsible driving while under the influence of alcohol. You have thousands and thousands of offenses against a holy God. And there is nothing, just like in that season of your life, where all the earthly means that you had could not get you out from under paying the penalty. There is nothing that you can do to get you out from paying the penalty of your offenses against the holy God. But there is one who was foretold about, the Prince of Peace, who came and the angels declared, a myriad of them, who said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Whom many will say, oh, you proclaim the name of Jesus. Why are you judging me? Why are you condemning me? That is the accuser. That is your flesh. That is the devil telling you a lie, because he came not to condemn us, but to set us free, to justify us fully, because he paid for my freedom and he paid for yours, to give me peace with God. That's what this justification says. You have peace with God, fully justified. Do you believe that, John? Well, in May of 1989, I did. And in that moment, for all eternity, past, present, and future, every sin had been placed on Jesus on that cross, and I was justified, declared righteous. But I could say, but I'm not. I tried to tell that judge, but my attorney wouldn't even let me speak. For me to go before God and to say, no, I said, I'm guilty. And he says, and now you're washed clean. But I don't deserve it. You're right. But I put the penalty on my son so you could be set free, declared justified. And can I tell you, I didn't have Christian friends at that time, had never been to a Bible-believing evangelical church like ours at that time, had conversations with Christians, had a friend who was a Christian, but he was nominal. He wasn't really walking well. But something occurred that evening, a presence, a peace. I had begun a right relationship with God by simply, by faith, surrendering. I lay down my hands, my self-justification, my righteousness. And there were things going on in my life that had me in great despair. I could never keep a relationship. My insecurities, my deficiencies always kept me wearing masks. I so wanted esteem. I so wanted material things that I worked and worked and worked, thinking that was going to bring satisfaction and joy and happiness. It never did. It just brought more burdens, more things to worry about, more money to try and earn and earn and earn. But that night, things changed internally. Oh, how I then began to hunger and to thirst for this peacemaker. Because guilt, 30 years of guilt, had been lifted up and out. And I couldn't understand how that had occurred. You see, my faith was 100% in Jesus. It was this big, my faith. What I understood of the gospel, of the Prince of Peace. But 100% of this was placed in the person of Christ and the work of Christ. Peace was mine. A gift received that had been offered. Declared just because of Jesus. Secured on his behalf. The war, the battle with God had ended. Jesus mediated the truce. He was the peace treaty. That's why he came. God says, I cannot wink at your sin, John. And world, you know we're separated no matter how you strive. For there was a day in my life where I was quite religious, embraced my religion with all my heart for a season. There was no peace. And in that moment, it was all there. And he said, because you couldn't do, I could do, and I did. The Prince of Peace went to that cross. And can I tell you, from that moment on, because of that freedom, because of that desire, I would want to share that truth, that hope, with anybody I met. I went into the office, and they said, you had lost your mind. Oh, please don't tell me you become one of those born-againers, one of those Jesus freaks. I didn't even understand the term born again. Well, Jesus freak, no, I wasn't one of them. I was still the same guy, same personality. Oh, but eternally changed, justified. Things began to shift for sure in my lifestyle, in my speech, in my desires from the inside out. And I would meet people and I would say, no, you don't understand. I have peace with God. All of these masks I wore to hide these insecurities, they're being removed. This is who I really am because God says, I'm okay with you, son. I know you. It was peace, which leads to transparency, which leads to more peace. I'm good with God. I heard that over and over. Me and God were okay. And as much as my friends or my family would say they're okay with God, it didn't matter what they said. They weren't. Because God foretold the Prince of Peace would come. The angels declared the Prince or the Peacemaker is here. Jesus says, in me you will have peace. The key to peace is to be declared justified. Only Jesus can do that. It doesn't matter what any of us think if we're okay with God. If you are not in Jesus and Jesus is not in you, because you have trusted him, then God says, it doesn't matter what you feel. And can I tell the opposite true? If you know you have surrendered to Christ, he is Lord and Savior. And this morning, this season, you find yourself discouraged. You find yourself wanting. You find yourself lacking a certain joy. And the darkness and the cold and even the Christmas season because of loss, those feelings can come upon us. Can I tell you, that doesn't make a difference if you're a follower. You are his. You are justified eternally, declared righteous because of Jesus. It's not based on your feelings. It's based on a fact, on what he did for you. That's the peace that has been offered. That is the peace I trust you have received. Jesus, the peace of God, paid for by blood running out his on a cross. So not only do we have peace with him because we've been justified by faith, we all have access to him directly and immediately. Look at the next part of verse 2. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Because Jesus brokered that peace, he also says, now you come. You come with confidence. You come with boldness. I've mediated. I've brokered the peace. You trusted in me. My Father certainly trusted in me. He said, you turn to him, you surrender to him, it's brokered. He says, now you come directly to my Father, because I am standing in the gap, making intercession for you before him. And so when you come boldly, you come with confidence, you come humbly, you come knowing who you're coming to. Almighty God, a holy God. And so with all of those other challenges, anxieties and fears, you see, peace with God is quite different than the peace of God. We first need peace with God. And that happens when there's acknowledgement, a recognition that our sin debt has been paid by Jesus alone. God says, you have peace with me forevermore, forevermore. And then he says, and now as you walk this earth, you will stumble and you will fall. And because I paid the penalty for all your sin, you confess that. You agree. And I am just to cleanse you and to make you washed and in right standing with me, because I didn't remove you from my family. You removed yourself. You quenched me. And you put yourself in the closet. But now your confession's opened up. But then there are those times where the news comes, the hard thing occurs, and we feel internally the struggle. What's going on? I'm a child of God. But that's right, Jesus promised, in me you'll have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. I live in a world that's full of trial and tribulation. So now what we need is the peace of God, because we have the peace with God. Paul tells us what that looks like. He says to us, Philippians 4, says you can rejoice. You can have inner joy for one reason. The Lord is near. He's in you. He has sealed you. He's listening. He loves you. He's the Prince of Peace. So now you come accessing the throne of grace, because he purchased it on that cross. So we've obtained this access through Jesus. In those times, those who have peace with God because they've surrendered to Jesus, he says, now you can come directly crying out. It doesn't matter if you've been a mile away or you've been a few inches away. We have access. And he says, so cast your burdens. Come to me with your general prayers, your specific petitions, with your heart of gratefulness. And I will put a guard over your heart and over your mind. And who will do that? The Prince of Peace, the God of Peace. Declare just access obtained by him, not by us, by faith alone. This Christmas, do you have peace? Have you received Christ and his offer because you acknowledge and say, I need to have peace with God. And there's nothing I can do, but he purchased it. I'm guilty. Oh, how I would love to be declared just before God. I may need to pay a consequence and a penalty in man's court or within my family or within my friends and associates because I've sinned against them, but I can walk through those times with peace internally. Though I've caused the peace or I've caused the lack of peace externally, or maybe I haven't. Maybe it's the ungodly actions of others that leaves my life, my path, in disarray and wanting. Jesus promises, yeah, but I can give you peace internally through that difficult time. And not only that, but I will see you home. I will see you through. And that's the last part of the peace that we see in Chapter 2 of Romans 5. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. There's a confidence. There's an assurance to exhale and say, I'm passing through. But I have assurance. Future. The glory of God. The presence of God. The holy, weighty perfection. The sinlessness, the unrest, the anxiety, the fears, the what is totally gone in his presence is guaranteed because of Jesus. He's granted that. And that's part of the peace. Declare just, full access to God, a guaranteed future. That's Christmas peace. That's Jesus. Jesus, in trying to communicate spiritual matters, would often use dollars and cents as an illustration to connect with people on this earth. Why? Because it got their attention. What are you saying there about money? And he would give an illustration to speak of a kingdom principle. As I reflect on Romans 5, 1 and 2, I think too of God saying, there's an account made available. God says, for he so loved the world. And that's people, you know, that's who the world is, that he gave his only begotten Son. Gave him all the way to death. So that whomever would believe in him, and that word believe is not mental assent. You and I believe in a lot of people because we read about them or were taught about them in history books. That word believe means staking your life, a surrender of your life. Whoever would believe on him would not perish, would not have to live in that guilty, condemning state anymore, but would have eternal life. The peace of God now and the guaranteed future glory of heaven. He says, my son didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world. The world's already condemned, the scripture says. He came to intercept that condemnation. So the account is there. It's offered to the world. To open that account means I come with nothing. And I surrender to you, Jesus. I believe you came on purpose. What we celebrate Christmas for is to be my reconciler to God, personally. Oh, I'm glad you make that offer to the world, but I come thinking about me and my need. It's deeply personal. And at that moment, when you believe, staking your life on, at that moment, he says, the account's open. It's been in your name since the foundation of the world. I knew this day would come. It is I who calls your name. And you're responding to me and to this invitation. What a glorious day. I can't forget it. I can't forget it. It's over 30 years ago. I can remember so much about that. And yet I can't remember many of the conversations we had last week. But I remember that. You remember peace. That's unexplainable. That's unretractable. That is forevermore. This Christmas, do you have that peace? You have the peace of God, the peace of Christ. You can. Join me. With your heart, your spirit, speaking to him. And if you're here today and you're saying, that's why I'm here. I've never understood, really, Christmas and Jesus. But if you have understanding today, it's because he's given you that. Because today is a day of your declaration of justification. And you know you don't deserve it. But you realize Jesus right now is telling you, but I went to that cross for you. That's good news. Father, I do thank you for the opportunity this Christmas to know and to have peace that surpasses a human understanding, to have peace with you, paid for by you, through you, Jesus, Son of God. And that offer, as I look out around this room, many have heard and have trusted and have believed and walk in freedom. And when the trials come, when the phone rings, when the text appears, and it's trouble, and it's hard, and it's unknown, we're so grateful for your presence, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who rises up and meets those difficulties with assurance. It says, I am here. I am yours. Abide in me. Stick close to me. You remember who you have access to, don't you? So come. Come quickly. Come often. Stay there. Let me flood you with my peace and remind you of your standing as a child of God, a co-heir with me. Lord, for the precious soul that's gathered in this room today, who needed to hear that truth, meet them at their point of faith and belief, as small as a thimble, as small as a mustard seed, but in you, Jesus, they begin a new journey, a new life forevermore, a future in your glory, looking to you, but a present freedom from guilt, a journey, a relational journey where you will never turn, where you will never forsake. What assurance. Thank you for making that peace. In your name I pray.